When I was a kid, I know I'm not Mr. Trackman, but there was always one day that I looked forward to more than all the rest, and it was that field day or whatever they call that thing where you get out there and you team up like in wheelbarrows and all that kind of stuff. But the one thing that all of us, man, we just loved, it was the relay race. We loved the relay race not because we just like going around the circle. And actually, I went to school just like one block from here, and every time I go by that track, I think of what we did every 6 weeks in PE, but then also I think about field day. But the reason we loved the relay race was because of that great thing. Usually it was no more than a stick, but we just had this incredible time when we would run our little piece, and then we had all kinds of ways, Taylor, we kind of throw the stick, or we jiggle the stick, or we drop the stick. I mean, it was like we just didn't take that thing seriously at all. It was just, that was kind of the fun, because, I mean, it wasn't like a real race. And so that baton, we just played games with it. It made the relay race worth it. So all my life, I always thought, you know, baton was just kind of something to have fun with, you know, kind of goof off with. Until a week ago. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Man, did you see the look in their eyes when they dropped the baton and were disqualified? Did you see the agony of, what do they call it? The agony of defeat. And some of you are saying, oh man, I wish I would have seen it. Man, did you come to the right chapel? Take a look. I don't know. It's like every time I see it, I just want to go, Something inside it just like kills you. Because you know that they were running the race so well. And some way as the baton was stretched out, and my mind goes back to, you know, when I was just that kid running the relay, and we'd throw it around and we deliberately drop it and nobody would disqualify us. And I look at that and I say, man, that stupid little stick is so much more important than I ever thought it was. I want to invite you this school year to another relay. It's a relay, and today is the day. Oh, it's already been given to y'all, but I want to give it to you again. I think the best way to describe it is to call it the God relay. It's a relay about a God that way back at the beginning of time, and some of you have heard me use this word, this God is not a micromanager. What I mean by that is everything about him in the Bible is he doesn't just kind of like stand over heaven and manipulate the world like a chessboard. But he's a God who got things going. And for those of us that might be a little scared and say, whoa, is this a picture of a God who gets things going and then the world just goes? No, it's a God who stays on the race with us. But the amazing thing about the God of the Bible is he doesn't run the race himself. He's this like incredibly vulnerable God who gets things going. Tom Middendorf, man. Everybody know Tom? Upperclassmen, maybe you haven't met Tom. Stand up. It's good to welcome Tom Middendorf. He is our, I don't even know all the title, but he's in charge of a whole lot of leadership and service things. So Tom, what this God does, he gets this thing called creation, or if we want to talk about a couple thousand years ago, Jesus gets this thing called the gospel going. But the amazing thing about this God, and you know, it really scares some people, because some people want to think that God is just kind of like running the race himself and we're a bunch of pawns on the chessboard. But no, he gets the race going. And he says, now that I have begun this thing called creation, you take it, Tom. You be fruitful. You multiply. Okay. I'm not saying you guys need to have kids yet, but now that this gospel is going, you take it. I entrust it to you. Now you continue the race. What is this gospel? What is this baton that he passes on? I think there's a lot of words we could use to describe it. Some people want to call it the mission of God. It's God on a mission. But God doesn't go on a mission solo. He invites us to participate in the mission. It's a relay. Some people want to call this the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I know that's a word we throw a lot around in the church. Gospel, if you just want to kind of give it its basic meaning, it's this. Wherever there are broken places in life, God is going to go into the broken places and he's going to bring it wholeness. Where there's blindness, he's going to bring light. Where there's alienation, he's going to bring reconciliation. God is on a mission. I mean, it's kind of a cool picture. There's a lot in that Bible, and there's a lot in 2,000 years of history since the Bible. But it all comes down to this one thing. God is on a mission. God has begun a relay. It's called the mission of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ. But because he's not a micromanager, because he doesn't just like hover in the heavens and run the race by himself and say, for a few thousand years, I'm going to let those people kind of be my little checker pieces, and then I'm going to bring it all to completion and say, okay, my game is over. But he invites you and he invites me to join the relay. An incredible God relay. There's a particular guy who was big into this relay. Most people think that probably of all the people in the Bible, he by far was the most into athletics. His name is Paul. Most of the images he uses about what it means to be with God is athletic imagery. He uses a little bit of farm imagery, a little bit of building imagery, but he loves to use athletic imagery. And particularly, there's a couple letters he writes to the guy who's ready to run the next lap of the relay race. His name is Timothy. We're not going to go through all of 1st, 2nd Timothy today, but he writes these two letters to Timothy. And you can just feel inside that Paul is saying, I've done my lap. And now, Timothy, it is just about time for you to take the baton from me. And, man, I'm going to do my very best not to drop this baton as I give it to you. But I want you to do the very best to take hold of the baton. Don't you drop it, Timothy. And so he begins in speaking to Timothy, writing this letter to Timothy. He begins to use language that goes like this. I'm being poured out like a drink offering. Time of my departure has come. In other words, my leg of the race is about over. I fought the fight. I finished the race. I kept the faith. And as I read that from Paul, this guy who ran his lap, who had been called into the God relay, man, it begins to hit me. To be a part of this relay, I guess we'd say it this way. Taylor, God is never going to do this to you, man. Taylor Johnson, here's the baton. You ready? Did you drop it, man? You're going to be right along with them. Catch it. God doesn't do it that way. This baton has been going on for like thousands of years. And so God began getting it going and passed it on. And from that time on, it has passed on. And on. And on. That's a good way not to study. I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding. You're my friend. And finally, some generation passes it on to us. To say the baton is to recognize the faith that we're a part of, the God relay, the God story. And y'all, this has got to be one of the coolest things. It didn't just start last year. It didn't just start 10 years ago. But you and I are a part of this. And it's just kind of hitting me. I know it should hit me a long time ago, but it's just kind of hitting me now. I've wanted so bad, Drew, I've wanted so bad most of my life to get everything done from the time I kind of became an adult until I die. You know what I realize? The big God story? I'm not going to cross the yellow tape. The reason I'm here at Trevecca is because I know this thing is a relay. And I've got to give the baton to you. Because somebody gave the baton to me. And in the big God story, probably there will be another generation that you will also give the baton to. And I begin to realize, I know it should have hit me a long time ago, but this thing has been going on for a long, long time as one generation has passed the baton to the next generation. This school year, there will be a few times, sometimes in chapels, sometimes in other settings, we'll just kind of celebrate some of those people who have passed the baton on to us. Because we realize that to be in the relay is generations before us that have been passing it on, and we are now the recipients. But you know, Paul doesn't just say, okay, Timothy, I've run my race. I'm ready to go. He says other things like this. And now, Timothy, I entrust this to you. And I tell you, Timothy, I love this language. Don't you let anybody look down on you because you're young. But you be the one man who sets the example. Not for young Christians, you set the example for believers in the way you live, in the way you love, in the way you talk, in the way that you serve God. Timothy, don't you let anybody look down on you because you're young. I think Paul explodes into this chapel today. And he says to those of us who are gathered here, I'm getting ready to give you the baton. It is your time now to run the race. You are a generation, and I think Paul would say it, you are a generation that there has never been another generation like you. I'm going to be the most honest in something that I've been in the years I've been at Trevecca. Some would say, where in the world is the church going to? I want to say the church, based on what I have been seeing at Trevecca these last few years, is in the best hands that the church has ever been in. I want to say, as I look at the generation that is taking the baton, you scare some to death because you have finally taken the keys and unlocked the staleness that sometimes generations before have gotten in worship. You have dared to say, we will not let anyone look down on us because we are young. But God has called us to set the example for the believers in the way we live, in the way we love, in the purity that we have, in the way we worship God. There is no generation like the generation right now who, when they were around 5 years old, watched the Oklahoma City bombings. When they were around 9 years old, they saw Columbine. When they were around 12 years old, they saw the Twin Towers fall. And as they prepared to enter into college, they watched Virginia Tech. No generation. You want to talk about a great generation? Ladies and guys, I mean this from the bottom of my heart. A generation who has seen a world rapidly change the way you have seen the world rapidly change. You are the generation that God is saying, I'm giving you a baton. And yes, this world is different than your mom and dad's world. This world is different than your grandparents' world. Things are changing. It's not quite the little white picket fence in front of a safe house and you send your kids to school and everybody's okay. But you know what this God says? And this scares some people. This God says to you, I am not a God of mistrust. I trust you, class of 2009. I so trust you, class of 2010. I so believe in you, class of 2011 and 2012. I give you the baton. And don't you let anybody look down on you because you're young. You be the ones who set the example for the believers in the way you live and in the way you love and in your purity and in the way you serve and worship God. I look and I say with deepest conviction, and man, it is conviction. There has never been a generation that realizes that when God started this whole thing, he wasn't concerned only about human beings, but he was concerned about his entire creation. You are a generation that God is raising up to say that it is creation itself that is groaning. And God is wanting to restore all of creation. And it's not just one particular group of people. It is people that now we can communicate through Facebook and through cell phones and through internet. It is a generation that says we are one global world. And there is a way that the good news of Jesus Christ, this time, unlike any other time in all of history, we are the generation who can take a baton. And we will not let anyone look down on us because we are young. And we will not wait until we graduate. We will not wait until we have children. We will not wait until we are 50 years old and looking towards retirement, but we will right now set the example for believers in the way they live, in the way they love, and in the way we live life of purity and worship of God. It might feel, y'all, like I believe in you. I want to tell you something, and I don't think I've ever said this with such conviction in a Trevecca Chapel. I believe that God so much believes in the generation that is now taking the baton. There has never been a time in the history of the human race where a generation is so ready to run the race faithfully. Now, let me remind you, God doesn't just drop it from the sky. There's a mom and a dad who's been running the race before you. There's a pastor and a youth pastor. There are mentors right here on this campus. Oh, not just them, but if you look into the skies, there's people by the name of Moses and David, Stephen and Paul, Augustine, Thomas, Francis, John and Charles, a little guy named Phineas who right about 100 years ago this October started a group whose greatest concern was to be like Jesus, was to serve the poor and the hurting. And so they thought of the most derogatory name they could think of to name themselves. A name that said, what was the most derogatory thing they could call Jesus? Because he associated with the poor and the weak. And so they called themselves Nazarene. It's an incredibly derogatory term because it basically means one who hangs out with the poor. There was a guy, I guess we around here could call him J.O. McClurkin, who dreamed a dream of passing the baton on to a generation as the world changes. And so Paul writes to Timothy, but my Timothy's, he writes to us. I'm sorry, choir, I haven't looked at you. I've run my race. It's about time for my leg of the race to be over. I've done the best I could. I've screwed up a few times. But I've done the best I could. Now I give it to you. Don't you let anybody look down on you because you're young. Don't you just set the example for young believers. You set the example for believers. And as I come to an end this morning, here's the way I want to imagine it. The classes of 09, 10, 11, and 12. We see the yellow tape. The generation before us faithfully put the baton in our hands, and so we celebrate our heritage. And there's the yellow tape, and we do this with a little bit of that old Chariots of Fire music. And it's at that moment I realize, no, we're in a relay. So in 2075 and 2100, when this old chaplain, at least this physical body, has kind of become worm food, 2075, go ahead, do the math, figure out your age. It's okay, faculty, we'll all be worm food together. It'll be good worm food. 2075, 2100. What will you have passed the baton on to? So why am I majoring in education? Because you're in a relay. You're not studying science so you can make money. You're not into pastoral ministry or youth ministry or music business just so you can get a big name. You're in a bigger story than that. You're in the God relay. And right now, this very moment in Baptist Hospital, there's what they call Thursday's child being born. And admissions team, go sign them up. They'll be here in 18 years. And it is the classes of 09, 10, 11, and 12. Not the chaplain. What year is this? In 2008. Who's going to be passing the baton on to Thursday's baby at Baptist Hospital? It's you. Teacher in the public school. Business person in the marketing, administrative works of our world. Youth pastor, musician. Those who are involved in public relations and communication. Science, doctors, nurses. We're a part of a bigger story than making money and making a name and having a big house. We're a part of the God relay. Think about it. These 4 years are doing one thing for all of us. They are simply equipping us to run the relay in unique ways to the best of our capacity. So here's the challenge. Come on up, Taylor. Here's the baton. Oh, I want us to celebrate heritage. Celebrate heritage doesn't mean we just kind of talk about a bunch of dead folks. Celebrate heritage means we realize the Christian faith, the journey, is so much older than us. And it's a good old. There are those who have passed it on as faithful as they could. And so we celebrate. We embrace hope. We embrace hope because we know that what God is calling every one of us to is to pass this baton on to the next generation. But ladies and guys, you've been my front row partner. Can you just stand up with me? I promise, if you sit up here with me, I'll never do this again. This is, and I know it sounds like a song, and it's not. This is your time. Not when you graduate. This is your season. You have been called to participate in the greatest thing you could ever participate in, and that is the God relay. I believe in you. You multiply that by a trillion and infinity, and God believes in you. You have already set the example for believers. Whatever you do, don't you stop. You keep dreaming dreams of what the gospel looks like in 2050. You keep using imagination of how a world that can now talk together in seconds, milliseconds. A world that could so easily be separated by differences, but now we actually can see the one thing we share, and that is our humanity. Okay, be the one for me. I have run the race. I've done the best I could. I've screwed up. But I've been as faithful as I can be. It's about time for it to come to an end. But you, let's not drop it. We do not want disqualification. Don't you let anybody look down on you because you're young. You set the example for the believers. But as you continue this leg of the race, remember, there's another generation waiting on you. Be faithful. Dream dreams. Use spirit-led imagination. For some time, the yellow line will be out there. Maybe not in my lifetime. Maybe not yours. But we've been promised this relay will be victorious. Greatest souvenir you can ever have from chapel. That piece of paper is yours. You're beautiful. Would you stand with me? Father, the baton For children, it's a game to be played. For people on the track, it's essential. Would you make us a generation who celebrates the baton that has been handed to us? Would you give us the grace not to change the baton, but to run the new race? And give us the grace and imagination to pass the baton to the next generation. Would you sing this song with me? Join the race today. Renew your commitment to it. People on this campus believe incredibly in the classes of 2009, 10, 11, and 12. Otherwise, people would be here. If you multiply that by a trillion and then let it trickle down into the people on this campus, that is the context in which this journey that we're making right now at Trevecca is being experienced in. God believes not in the future of what you can do and be in this journey. He believes in the now. I commit to y'all. Trevecca commits to you all. I think it's so much more than a cliche. That word leap really means we're kind of getting ready to pass that baton on to the next generation. When I say we, I don't mean faculty administrators. I mean, you guys are getting ready to pass it on. You're running your leg of the journey now. May God give us grace to be the best teachers, pastors, business people, musicians, doctors, nurses, communicators, athletes. You fill in the blank as we run this incredible journey. And now, oh God, we celebrate our heritage. And we promise you this year, we'll take moments where we just intentionally celebrate it. And we embrace hope. And we really commit to you that this semester, and especially next spring, we will intentionally just talk about what does the kingdom of God here on earth look like in 2020, 2030, 2040, 2050, 2060, and how can we imagine that? But, oh God, in between heritage and hope, give us grace to hold on faithfully to the baton and encourage each other to do so. In Jesus' name, it is so awesome to see you guys back. Have a great day. We'll see you around here next week.